Our speaker for this next hour is Jonathan Hager.
Luke 2, 1 through 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, and being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, and the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's focus in on this end of this passage. There was no room for them in the inn. The innkeeper really had no room for them. During this time, there was a lot of travel going on, and they had gone down to Judea and to Bethlehem, where Mary and Joseph were both born there, which was lucky for both of them, because that's where they were going to be taxed. And so there was a lot of people coming into Bethlehem at that time period. And so you can imagine, a lot of people that may be coming there, they didn't necessarily live there at that time, so they needed to have some place to stay. And so there were probably a lot of inns that were packed full. We can understand why the innkeeper may not have had room for them. To us, we are the innkeepers of our heart. And we need to ask ourselves, do we have room for Jesus in our hearts? In James 4 and verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We do have a wonderful opportunity to be able to draw nigh to God, and He, in return, will reciprocate that by drawing nigh to us. How have we allowed Christ into our hearts? How have we made room for Him? How have we done this? There are four ways that I'd like to talk about this morning. Love, prayer, innocence, and the Bible. Four ways by which we may allow Christ into our hearts. Love. The connection to love and God is paramount. And 1 John 4:8, for he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. To understand love is to understand one of the central qualities and nature of God. In verse 16 of the same chapter, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Through an understanding of love, we may understand the central qualities of God, because if we don't understand love as it is written to us in 1 Corinthians 13, we're all familiar with this passage, such a wonderful passage that we have to help us understand love. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Without love, we truly are nothing, because God is love. Without love, we cannot understand sincerity. And we can just follow and echo some of the qualities that other righteous men. But without that sincerity, without that love, we are nothing. We're just robots. We need to have that motivation, that sincere and love that pushes us through the hard times. And we can understand why God could send His Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. If we don't understand the concept of love, we cannot even begin to understand the concepts in the beginning of Christianity when God sent His Son to earth. God is love, and because of that, we have the ability to understand it. In Romans 5:5, the love of God is given unto us. We love God because He first loved us. Without God and God showing us, we understand it. We have been first the recipients of love, so we can understand the qualities of it. And He has given us the ability to reciprocate that. It's so hard to understand how anybody doesn't have a relationship with God or that is not a Christian can understand the full concept of love. They may understand certain qualities of love, but if they don't have a relationship with God, they cannot understand the full concept of love because God is love. To know God is to comprehend love, and to understand love is to know God. The two are not mutually exclusive. They come as a package deal. When you understand fully one of them, you understand the other one. And we can see how God is love through all of the numerous things and blessings that He has bestowed upon us. First and foremost, His Son that He gave to us. Secondly, prayer. Prayer is a wonderful way to maintain our relationship with God. How can we communicate or have a relationship with somebody if we don't communicate with them? What kind of a relationship would that be? We don't talk to them. In Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In this context, there was a problem in the church, and the apostles gave themselves continually to prayer. First thing they did when a problem arose in the church was they prayed. We should echo this idea. When there's a problem in God's house, we need to pray to Him to recognize His authority in all things, and we need to go to His word. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The Thessalonians were exhorted to pray. To pray without ceasing gives the idea that we can never pray too much. God always wants to hear from us. And though He understands what we're going through and knows all of the aspects of our lives, it's still sometimes good to hear it. Because we may love our children and our families, and we may understand that they love us, but isn't it sometimes wonderful to hear it spoken directly from them, that they love us? And we need to understand that. And when we understand that feeling, we can understand that why we too pray to God. I mean, when was the last time that we prayed to God in prayer and told Him that we loved Him? It's a simple concept, and showing that we can show God that we love Him through our actions. If you love me, keep my commandments. But when was the last time we said that? Many times people will compare how much they pray with how much other people will pray. Prayer and how much you pray is important. We can see that in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. But also, we don't need to compare how much we pray with how much other people will pray. But instead, compare how much you pray with how much you speak to other people that you love in your life. If you truly love God more than anybody, shouldn't your prayer life reflect that? Do you talk to God as much as you talk to those that you love in your life? We can never really pray enough. There's no limitation there. We're just told to pray without ceasing. But also, we need to think about the motivation behind it. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To pray an effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man, we need to go before God with a righteous heart and sincere motives. Many times people will pray for things they can do themselves. If we look in the Old Testament, many times people will pray for things that they can do themselves. Many times people will pray that, I want to know more about this right here. But then they don't want to open it. They just want something, some mysterious whispering from something to be able to tell them what's in this. And then they say, well, Spirit of God spoke to me. Well, it may have been some kind of spirit, but I don't think it was the Spirit of God. So we need to understand that if we want to learn about the Word of God, we need to be able to open this. And we don't need to pray for something that we can do ourselves. This God has given us what we need in this Bible. We can pray for the opportunity to learn. But to learn ourselves, God has given us that opportunity through the Bible. So we need to think about what we pray and why we pray. Ask ourselves why we pray. Is it just for some perfunctory activity that we do just out of tradition? But I encourage us all to pray at different times of the day. Because at different times of the day, your mind is focused on different things and you think and process in perhaps a different way. We can pray different times of the day and we may pray about other things that may help us grow in our prayer life. Thirdly, innocence. A focus and understanding on innocence aids in our understanding. God is pure and free from iniquity, thus innocence. Innocence is without any sort of iniquity or pollution. It's completely pure. And that is what God is. And to understand innocence is to understand that central quality of God. There are very few things in this world that are completely innocent. But I can think of one. Children. A small child. They are truly a gift to this world. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 and verse 5. And verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, shall by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 5, and whoso receiveth one of these little ones in my name, receiveth me. To receive one of these little ones in Christ's name is to receive him, to understand the innocence of a child. But they are the future of the church, and we need to remember that and spend time with them. We can learn from them too, as they learn from us. But let's also think for a moment about the mind of a child in regards to their parents. Children cling to their parents unconditionally. They love them. Everything revolves in their child's life around their parents. That is similar to us in our relationship to God. We need to believe what God tells us. When a child gets older sometimes, they start to grow away from mom and dad. Sometimes they move away from the teachings and the shadows of their parents prematurely, and they make a mess of their lives. Because they live by their own standards and how they believe they should live. And many times the world does that to God, do they not? We have the opportunity to make amends for that, though. God has provided a means by which we can come back to Him. Through repentance. We need to have that same mindset as a child in dealing with God. He is our Father. Have we been raised on the words of our Father, the Bible, or have we been raised on the words of other men? God is a jealous God. He wants us to be raised. His children need to be raised on His Word. Spiritually, when we are baptized, we are a new child in God, and we are to be raised on His Word, not the words of men and doctrinal and denominational preachers. We need to look at the Bible and follow what He said. He is our Father. Let's grow in our spiritual lives through what He said. And fourthly, the Bible. The Bible is God's inspired Word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is profitable for doctrine. We base what we teach around the Bible, and it is profitable for reproof. We can help and correct people through the Bible. And again, for correction, correction is something that it's okay to be wrong sometimes. We all stumble sometimes or misunderstand, and that's what the Bible is for. It's to help us come back to correction and to right, to righteousness, to understand how to come back and how to live, for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. The Bible has gone through so much. So many times people want a monopoly on it. There have been people in the past, especially in the medieval period, where it has been an absolute penalty of death to translate the Bible into a common tongue. But we do have the ability to read it today. A wonderful blessing. There are times in this time period today where some people do not have the ability to read the Bible. And they may not even have it in their own language. Sometimes it is very dangerous to have the Bible in certain parts of the world. But the Word is God. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To know the Bible is to know God. To have a relationship with God, one must know what He said. I must be perfectly clear. There is nothing that we can know about God that's not in this Bible. We're not going to learn anything about God than what we can learn about Him in this book right here. We cannot connect love to God without this. We cannot connect our innocence to God without this. And we cannot connect prayer with God without the Bible. It is our lifeline, one that we must continually read and nourish. 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." We read and study the Bible to grow in our knowledge of Christ. How else are we to grow in the knowledge of Christ without the Bible? We can't do it. Everything we know about Christ and God righteously is through this book. For sure. It is infallible. And therefore we can have a true understanding of His nature and a relationship with Him through this Bible. It is a wonderful power that we have. It is a sword, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6. But we read this for His glory. We are as complete as we will be when we are baptized. When we study this book, it is out of gratitude and out of appreciation for Him. It is for His glory. That's what it says in 2 Peter 3:18. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To study this word is glory to Him. And to understand it is to understand a quality of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show ourselves approved. To be approved of God, one must study. But then what does it say in the verse that we are to do after we study? We are to apply it. We are to study, and then we are to become a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. Once we study and know the qualities of God, we are to take that and preach it to the world. I ask again that central question. How have we made room for God in our hearts? Jesus, when He was born, did not have room in the inn. But we are the innkeepers of our heart. And have we made room for Christ in our heart today to remember what He has done for us? He has done so much for us. We can make room for Him in our hearts through love and an understanding of innocence and a continual communication of prayer and a study of the Bible. We need to constantly continue to grow in that relationship with God. We can never become stagnant, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.